We're reading the epistle of Philemon, this short little postcard that Paul the Apostle wrote to Philemon. And today we come to verse 8 and 9. I'd like to read them, and then we'll spend a few minutes thinking about them. Paul writes, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you to do what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged one, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." We come today in our study of this short epistle to the central part of this letter, to Paul's request that he wants to write to Philemon. Up to now, it's been mostly introduction. We've looked at the names of the people that are involved here. We've looked at Paul's prayer of thanksgiving to God, in which we read in the preceding verses how he thanked God for the reputation that Philemon had, for his love for the saints, for his ministry, for his service. Paul thanks God for the testimony that Philemon had in the city where he lived and in his house where the local church met. And these are all part of the introduction. But now we come to the central part. We come to the part that's very difficult. This is where Paul will be asking Philemon to do what a Christian ought to do. Paul has made an emphasis on the love and the encouragement and on the gifts, the spiritual gifts that Philemon had, and how he used them to refresh the hearts of the saints and the other Christians that met in his house, especially as they came and perhaps stayed in his house, since many believers at that time, when they came to the city, they could not stay in the public places because there was a lot of thieves and robbers and other types of people that would congregate in those places. And so Christians, when they came to a city, they would usually stay at another Christian's house and they would practice hospitality. And that's what Philemon was known for. And so Paul uses all of these qualities of his that he already has. He uses them as a foundation to now appeal to Philemon to receive, to forgive, and to restore Onesimus, his runaway slave, back to the position that he had one time. And not only to do that, but to give him a place now as a brother, as a believer in Christ, to give him a place in the local church. A very interesting request. And the main purpose of Paul writing is this very, very important word that we call intercession. Posrednik. We read that we have an intercessor between God and man, Jesus Christ, the man. Jesus Christ ministers as an intercessor between God and us when we come in prayer to God the Father. And in the very same way, in a physical level, Paul will intercede for Onesimus, who is now his brother in Christ, a fellow servant in the church who was helping Paul while Paul is in prison in Rome. He's become useful for Paul. He has a ministry. He's doing something for the Lord. And Paul's purpose in asking Philemon to receive him and forgive him and to restore him is as an intercessor, as a go-between, as a man that can stand up for him and give his word of testimony that Onesimus has truly been redeemed and transformed and is a new person in Christ. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. And when God creates things, he creates things perfectly. You go back to Genesis 1 and everything that God created, Scripture says he created it, and afterwards when God examined the work of his creation, he says it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And at the end of chapter 1, it says it was very good. And so have you ever needed to go to somebody that you know quite well, somebody that is maybe close to you? And have you had a need to ask him for a special favor? Normally when you ask somebody for a favor, it's because you know them quite well. We normally don't walk up to a stranger on the street and begin to ask him for a favor. A favor is something that only usually a friend can extend and give. And a favor is usually something that is asked on the basis of a mutual friendship and a love between each other. sometimes the favors that we want to ask or request from somebody is for something very difficult. Maybe it's something that you really need and you can't afford. And maybe you need to borrow some money, or maybe there are things that occur in life that sometimes you need help from other people. You cannot do it by yourself. And so when you have these special situations, you can't just barge in on somebody. You need to plan how you're going to meet him. You might take him out to lunch or dinner, buy him a cup of coffee, invite him to your house for tea. But you want to set the scene. And Paul has done that. He's talked about the qualities that Philemon has, and now he approaches with the need. But this was a very special and a very touchy situation, because according to Roman law, if a slave ran away, the owner could as much as kill him if he wanted to. He had the full right to do so. He could give him over to the local authorities, very much like today we would call the police. And he could demand a trial. He could demand that the slave be forced to do some prison time, or maybe do some hard labor. Or there was a lot of very strict laws in the Roman Empire at that time. And there were two ways that Paul could approach this. First of all, Paul could have interceded as the great apostle Paul. He was the greatest, perhaps, living apostle at the time. He could have come with the authority, he says here. He says, I can come to you. I can come to you boldly in Christ, and I can command. I can tell you what to do. Paul, in fact, had led Philemon to the Lord. Philemon's spirituality and his new life in Christ was the result of the ministry and the missionary service of Paul. And Paul could have demanded this and said, you do this because you're a Christian now and you need to do this. God calls us to love. God calls us to forgive. Perhaps next time I want to stop and talk about forgiveness a little bit. The qualities that involves in our life. And so Paul could have come with a position of strength and authority and boldness and demanded and commanded and ordered Philemon to do this. And Philemon, from what we know about his character, would likely have received and forgiven and restored Onesimus based on the apostle asking him. But there may have been a little reluctance in his heart. As you know, if you've ever been called to do something that is difficult, especially when it involves something that may have, or somebody, or in a situation that may have hurt you or cost you something. I think many of you may have experienced maybe having a new car and then somebody keys it. It's a very unpleasant feeling, right? To forgive somebody is very difficult. And we can only do it by the love of Christ that is generated in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Humanly speaking, we don't have this capacity, this capability. And so because Paul asked, Philemon may have done that, but maybe with some reluctance in his heart, because he didn't want to offend Paul. But that's not the way Paul approaches Philemon. Paul approaches Philemon with love. God's agape love, the love with which God loves the world. You remember when Paul was writing many of his epistles, he wrote with the position of the apostle and the authority he had. When he wrote to Corinth, he instructed the church on how to deal with the various issues that the church was going through at that time. And Paul had no doubt about his authority as an apostle, and he could have done that, but he doesn't. Instead, he approaches Philemon with love. If you know anything about the military, you know that the military has structure of authority. It has to be strong, it has to be bold, and it is necessary for the soldiers that are under the command of the commanding officer that they respond and that they obey. When we study the epistle to the Ephesians, we talked about the structure of authority that exists throughout society. God created this structure of authority. There's an authority in the family where the husband is the head of the family. And the wife is to lovingly, because she loves Jesus Christ, to submit to her husband as the church submits to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And so we have this structure of authority in the church. We have a structure of authority in society where we submit, as we've been studying in chapter 13 of Romans, to the authorities and to the laws that God has set above us. And this idea of approaching Philemon with love, if you stop and think about it, it is also a type of authority. Remember, Solomon says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner or his authority over me is love. And so Paul approaches Philemon. And he approaches Philemon on the sake of a couple of statements that he makes about himself and about his own personal life and his testimony and what he's done for Jesus Christ. Paul makes two statements in verse 9. First of all, notice this word in here. He says, I am Paul the aged. Stutters. Paul was about 60 years old at this time, and most of us do not consider 60 to be very old by our culture and by our standards. If you call somebody that's 60 years old, you call him old, you're probably going to be offended, especially if it's a lady. We think 60, you know, it's just, you're in the prime of life. But for that time, 60 was old. And for Paul, it was especially old. You stop and you consider Paul's life. When we talk about age, and we talk about children, have you ever had a child walk up to you and ask you why? Children and grandchildren love to ask why. Why, Grandpa? Why? And very often the answer is because I'm older than you, and that's the reason why. But a much better approach is to lovingly explain to the child why. Because Jesus wants you to obey. Children, obey and submit to your parents. And Paul is not approaching Philemon because he's older than Philemon, although he could have. Paul is approaching him because of everything he's experienced and what has caused him to physically age. You may have heard the expression, burning a candle at both ends. The candle burns twice as fast and is consumed. The Apostle Paul had burned himself out for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul spent many sleepless nights in ministry and concern for the church and in prayer for the church. Paul suffered through persecutions. Paul suffered beatings, stonings, shipwrecks. His many travels, his many nights of sleeplessness and being tired. Probably in his travels there were many times when he was hungry, did not eat right. All of these things are what added up to burning his life's candle from both sides. So although he's only 60 or maybe a little less or a little more, physically his body is exhausted. He's tired. He's lonely. He's isolated in the prison 1,000 miles away. His friends cannot come and visit him. Only a few would even dare to go visit him. Because to visit a prisoner, especially a Christian prisoner at that time and age, meant to identify with Jesus Christ and submit yourself to the very same persecution. And we read that even Timothy at one time may have been ashamed of the apostle. And Paul writes to Timothy in one verse, and he says, do not be ashamed of me, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And this is how Paul approaches Philemon. He says, I know I'm calling on you to do something difficult. I'm simply asking you to forgive as Jesus forgave. Paul says, the reason I'm old and the reason I'm aged is because I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he forgave me of all the things I did against him. I persecuted the church, he says. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the number one sinner. I'm the worst sinner in the world. And Jesus forgave me, and that is why I live for him. And I'm asking you, for the sake of this Messiah and this Jesus and this Savior that we have, that you forgive and receive and restore Onesimus and give him a place in the church. Because Philemon, you too are a child of God. Paul's not trying to get to Philemon's emotions like sometimes we do. He's simply opening up his heart to let Philemon look inside. You know, to open your heart is very difficult to let people see what really goes on inside your heart. We put this wall around ourselves. We keep people at a distance from ourselves. And Paul is not ashamed to open his heart to Philemon and say, look inside. Look at everything that I've suffered on account of Jesus Christ. And not just Philemon, but he gives us an opportunity with our eyes to look into Paul's heart. A soft heart. A heart that is full of forgiveness for the slave that has wronged this man. And so secondly, Paul says, not only am I aged and old and worn out and tired and lonely and isolated, but I am also now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. On top of all that, now my life is coming to an end. He's going to write to Timothy real soon and say, my life has come to an end. I have kept the faith. I'm ready to enter into the presence of God and to receive the reward that God has promised for those who love him. And so this is the appeal. This is the basis on which Paul appeals to Philemon. In verse 10, he actually gets into the details of what he's going to ask Philemon to do. And that we will examine next Sunday, God willing. Amen.